And that's a wrap on the 2024 NFL Draft. Welcome, Bird Gang. On today's show, Danny Sarek and Paul Calvisi both join me. We run it back once again to discuss day three. Five picks made, 12 total picks over the 3 days. Our thoughts, plus the thoughts of GM Monty Ossetfort and assistant GM Dave Sears. It's Cardinals Cover 2, episode 752, and it starts now.
Welcome to Cardinals Cover 2.
Buda Baker, one heart, one threat. This guy's unbelievable.
Cardinals Cover 2 is presented by Hyundai, proud partner of the Arizona Cardinals, and by Arizona Cardinals Podcasts. Visit azcardinals.com/podcasts.
He's at the 10, at the 5, he's in again! Some more Murray magic!
Wow!
Here's Craig Grealoux.
It went so well on Friday, thought we would do it again. A little cover three here on cover two. Day three of the 2024 NFL Draft is in the books. The entire 2024 NFL Draft is in the books. A total of 12 picks, an NFL high 12 picks, five on Saturday. So big picture for us. Danny, what do you think of the haul that Monty Ossetfort brought to the Cardinals?
Overall, I think the Cardinals had a nice draft. It seems like they not only addressed needs, but they got the right type of players who have the right mindset for what they're looking for, fit the culture as who they are as people. And it's very clear that all these draft picks love ball, as they like to say, and that is a priority in everybody's mind here. So I think they did a nice job of addressing immediate needs, especially early on, of players that seem like they will be immediate impactful players. I've obviously got wide receiver Marvin Harrison Jr. You've got defensive lineman Darius Robinson. I think, like I said on Friday night, of Max Melton can really make a case to be one of your starting cornerbacks. And then I like the fact that the Cardinals were addressing needs of depth. Of you could tell the players, the position rooms, they want to see some competition in. And cornerback is absolutely one of those rooms, having drafted three of them, taken an offensive lineman. So I think that they did a nice job of getting the right kind of players in the right positions that can come in and make an immediate impact, and then also getting some depth and competition.
On the subject of cornerback, though, it was Monty who mentioned in his post-draft presser that is just how the board fell. It wasn't a position that was targeted. At least that's what he's saying publicly,
yeah.
Because
sorry,
it certainly was a position and yeah. Is a position of need.
Again, there was one proven corner on the roster before the draft weekend. That was Sean Murphy Bunty. Now, you obviously like Garrett Williams, and there's some other talent in there, but every single draft has need baked into it. It just does. It's not best player available at every single slot. You obviously weren't going after a quarterback, for example. So I just thought there was a lot of intrigue in this class. First of all, there's a lot of players in this class. It's the first time I ever remember needing more than two hands to count all the draft picks. And so then you go through some of the names and through some of the resumes. And I mean, I'll just throw a dart at the board. I mean, whether it's Max Melton with the third highest athleticism score among cornerbacks, when you look at the NGS, Next Gen Stats, whether it's Trey Benson, who was the highest rated running back based on a lot of the analytics, whether it's Isaiah Adams and just all the nasty, the force and attitude, how his college coach said he's a jerk on game days. And then, of course, you have Tip Ryman, the tight end, right? And just his quote about liking to put his hands on people and doing what he wants. And he thinks it's God's gift, so he wants to honor the Lord by doing so. His quote, not mine. There's just a lot of intrigue indeed. I think in a lot of these guys, you're like, all right, what are they all about? Is it bluster? Is it media speak? Is it just the math of the analytics? I mean, what's there? And so I think it makes training camp and the preseason a little more intriguing than I can remember in the past. A, because there are so many players to find out about, and B, because there seems to be so much under the hood and upside. And if there is a pattern to this class, and I think there are several themes, I think one is just upside, going for guys who have the size and the speed and the athleticism, and maybe there's still room to grow once they hit the NFL.
12 selections, the most in a single draft for the Cardinals since the draft went to a seven-round format in 1994, and the 12 picks split down the middle. Six offense, six defense. Yes, three cornerbacks selected. And this does not leave a lot of room, Danny, for anyone else to be added to this roster. Right now, there are two open roster spots, and that's it. Typically, teams are fighting one another to sign some undrafted rookie free agents. The Cardinals are not in that boat because of where their roster falls at the moment.
I will say I was a little surprised that there were zero trades on day three by the Cardinals. And Austin Fort said in the press conference they had plenty of options to move back. They just wanted to stay where they were. I'm a little surprised that already looking ahead to 2025, I believe the Cardinals have just six picks. But you build, yes, through the draft. But if the Cardinals feel so good about the picks they wanted to stay and get this year, well, then that's what's important. And it is interesting that a lot of teams are going to end up signing 10, 11, maybe 12 undrafted free agents. And the Cardinals have space for, I believe, two. So not a lot of room there, not a lot of phone calls probably being made once the draft was over. But again, that was just what they felt like was best for them, was to stay and stick and pick at all five places on Saturday.
Two, unless there's a corresponding roster move to be made, and who's to say what's going to happen in rookie minicamp here in a couple of weeks. But let's go through real quick the five players that were selected, and if there's one guy that stands out above the rest. But here's who the Cardinals brought on board on Saturday: safety Dadrian Taylor Emerson, edge Xavier Thomas, offensive tackle Christian Jones, wide receiver Tajon Palmer, and cornerback Jaden Davis. Five new players, again, 12 total picks. And is there one particular player of those five, Danny, that stands out as far as, yeah, I'm intrigued by either the player, his background, or the position fits within this Arizona Cardinals, either the offense or defense?
I think it'll be interesting. The Cardinals took a safety in Dadrian Taylor Demerson, also known as Rabbit. And the fact that that's what Austin Fort mentioned him as in the press conference, I'd imagine that's what he's going to go by moving forward. 5'10", 197. He ran a 4.41 40-yard dash. He played in every game the last 3 years. He was actually a running back until he ended up at Tech his freshman year in 2019. I think this is an intriguing pick when you're just looking at the future of that position here with the Cardinals. Of, I don't necessarily expect Taylor Demerson or Rabbit to come in and take a starting role from Abuda Baker or Jalen Thompson, but I think that this is a good position for him to be in to learn from the two of them and really develop and try and find something long-term in that position room, because depending on how things go, that could become a great need in a year or so. So I do think that was an intriguing pick. And we haven't had a chance to, you know, be face-to-face with him, but from the little you can pick up on the player interviews or what you can see when they're broadcasting the draft, the offensive tackle, Christian Jones out of Texas, taken in the fifth round, the smile he had. I mean, we were all watching the draft happen here in the podcast studio, and it was like, wow, that seems like a fun person to be around. 6'5", 305. He was a four-year starter at Texas, has versatility as right side and left side as a tackle, only allowed one sack in the last 16 games. So I'm not sure that we will see a lot of him right off the bat of being a tackle, and maybe just more competition as a swing tackle, and kind of see in a year or so where that development lies. But that kind of seems like an intriguing pick to me.
He told a great story of how he entered high school, and the football coach saw him from across the schoolyard and said, hey, young man, why are you not coming out for football? And he said, well, because I'm a soccer player. Really? He said, yeah, and I'm going to make the national team. And the football coach told him, okay, well, when that doesn't work out for you, come see me, because I got a spot for you on the football team. And he said he took that personally, took that as an insult. But by his sophomore year, he realized, yeah, maybe I am a little too big for soccer. And so he went to the football coach and said, hey, coach, when does football start? And the coach turned to him with a big smile and said, today, let's go, young man. And you put him in pads just like that, and boom, he ends up going to Texas. In terms of the most intriguing, and thanks for asking, Craig, I mean that question. I'm just going to fill in the blank here. I'm really intrigued by Xavier Thomas.
Ding.
The round five pick, number 138. You're telling me he was the third-ranked recruit coming out of high school? He was a five-star recruit that the national recruiting rankings that year had number one, Trevor Lawrence, number two, Justin Fields, number three, Xavier Thomas, number five, Micah Parsons. And to hear him tell the media that he would always compete against Micah Parsons, two-time All-Pro, and tell them, you know what, we always had the same abilities in regards to how we played our position. And to hear him say that and then talk about his motor and then to see some of the highlights from the Shrine Bowl, and then you learn about his backstory and how he spent 6 years in college and how Dabo Swinney came out and said how proud he is of Xavier Thomas because he was, quote, in a dark place, end quote, at one point. And Xavier Thomas being really forthcoming about dealing with some mental health challenges and depression and COVID. He got COVID early in 2020, and then he put on a bunch of weight. And what he learned about being a pro when it comes to his nutrition and his fitness. And so, okay, here he is. He's 6'2", he's 244, he's 24 years of age, but he had the fourth fastest 40 at the combine of any of the edge guys. He seems to have some natural gifts, some elite ability. Man, what does that mean? I ran into a couple assistant coaches who said they've had players in the league text them, heck of a pick, good job. So, once again, it's just intriguing. I want to see what's there when he gets out on the field, Xavier Thomas.
And that's one of those players, when you look back at their background and how they arrived at this point 3 years ago, Xavier Thomas should have been in the National Football League.
Yeah.
He hit that ceiling in college, and then all of a sudden there was that quick right-hand turn, and he's been very open about his background. Monty Ossenfort mentioned it as well, as far as in those visits that they've had with Xavier. Okay, what you went through, how do you overcome that? And then just hearing him on the conference call say how much he loves to compete, and he is in a better mental state than he was maybe even a couple of years ago. And just as he put it, the relentless dog effort. And I hear that, Paul, and I think of one player in particular, and that is Marcus Golden, the junkyard dog out of Missouri. M-I-Z, right?
C-O-U.
And as physical as Marcus Golden was, and as good as he was early in his career, and he had a double-digit sack season for the Arizona Cardinals, at first glance, Xavier Thomas has a first step and has athleticism that even exceeds Marcus Golden. He just has some certain things and abilities that, guess what, would put you in the top five recruits, five-star recruit coming out of high school. He was a freshman All-American, won a national championship. And he said, you know, in year two, he had a lot of yes men around him, a lot of people telling him how great he was. So think about that. You're the number three recruit in the country. You win a national championship as a freshman. You're playing in that championship title game against Alabama. You're named a freshman All-American. Yeah, at 18, 19 years of age, it might go to your head a little bit. And so he just had to grow up, in his own words. And so now, okay, as a grown man whose football future is squarely on the line as a fifth-round pick, I'm curious to see him come out and compete.
And it's the position that I mentioned on Friday's edition of Cardinals Cover 2, presented by Hyundai, proud partner of the Arizona Cardinals, the edge rush, the pass rush, a stand-up outside linebacker. Yes, you did address defensive line, defensive end, but an outside linebacker for a room that right now has Zaven Collins, B.J. Ojulari, Dennis Gardeck, Victor Dumukeji, Cameron Thomas, Tyreek Smith, and Jesse Luketa. That's it. And Luketa is the only one who was added this offseason because he needed to be re-signed. Everyone else, including Jesse, was on the roster a year ago. Here's the first new name to that roster and to that position room.
There is a lot of room for competition and to stand out and to really make a name for himself, for Xavier Thomas, in that room. There's a very good possibility if he comes out there and he has a stellar rookie minicamp and training camp and a couple preseason games of showing that he can handle the playbook, he can be out there in a couple of different sets or packages, I think we could see a lot out of him off the bat if he has that skill set. I mean, that's just a position room where I don't know that anything is set in stone at this moment. And that position is probably the most open.
I mean, think about it. Chop Robinson ran a 4.48. Jared Burse ran a 4.58. Two first-round picks. And then he was fourth, a 4.62. So, again, there are just abilities that he has that exceed most edge rushers. So now what can they do with him in that room? What is his ability to be used even in some package situations? You bring him in, second and obvious, third and obvious passing situations, and just let him go to work? Okay, because you're not really sure what he's going to be like against the run. Who knows exactly? We've heard different reports on exactly what his weight is. But once again, if you can get to the quarterback, you will get a spot on an NFL roster, and you will have a role.
Before we get to the last couple of picks, we talked about Taylor Demerson and the nickname Rabbit. How do we feel about calling across the room in the locker room, "Hey, Rabbit"? And first, let's just let everyone know, if you don't know the backstory, it's a nickname he earned in second grade from one of his coaches, seeing him running around the field looking like a bunny rabbit. And he thought it was just going to be a little thing that stayed around childhood. And it's no, I mean, people, his social media accounts have Rabbit on it. So much like Hollywood Brown, I guess it's Rabbit in the locker room.
Wolf's brain has got to be working in overtime right now of what kind of puns he can use, right?
Okay, so I have two reactions. Show of hands, you saw Eminem come out to start the NFL draft in Detroit, right? In the D, the 313, and he walked out there with Roger Goodell. How many people have seen his movie 8 Mile?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I have not.
Well, is
it's very, very good.
His name in the movie is Rabbit. His mom had nicknamed him Rabbit. So I have a hard time. When I hear Rabbit, I automatically think of Eminem, and I think of the movie. Especially this weekend.
I don't think of Eminem. It's like,
come on, Craig,
I got Bugs Bunny flashing in my head as I hear.
Here's the other thing I'll convey is he gave a shout out to his former trainer at Texas Tech, right? Drew, who's now the Cardinals trainer. And I passed by Drew and I said, "Hey, how about your guy Dadrian?" And he looked at me, he said, "Oh, you mean Rabbit?" So I think we're all going to have to get used to the fact he's known and goes by Rabbit. That's my understanding.
That leaves a lot for our marketing department, our team illustrator, Chad Burns, to have some fun with this nickname.
I mean, take them out. Do they still race greyhounds? You know, the rabbit that they have on the interior, on the inner rail, right? And the greyhounds chase the rabbit. I mean, there's something there. I mean, come on. I can't do everything. Let's think.
Danny, we got another edition this offseason, right? We hope of Game On. Is there something with rabbits that we can do? I don't know. The Greyhound race? I mean, I don't know. We got to figure out something. There's something there, Danny.
Maybe not.
No? Okay.
We'll see.
Well, here's the deal, though, is we went into this draft, and what did we say? There were certain areas, certain position groups that you needed depth and or you needed to work a year ahead. So the Cardinals coming out with pick 104, a top round 4, and going after a safety shouldn't be a real shock to anyone. First off, every team, just like you need 3 or 4 corners, you really, in today's world, need 3 safeties. If you're going to consistently go nickel and dime. And last year, I think you guys would agree, after Buda Baker and Jalen Thompson, there was a drop-off. So there's room. And you also need an infusion of youth. I mean, those two guys have been around for a few years now. So you bring in a guy who was the defensive back player of the week at the Shrine Bowl, was voted the most consistent defender. At least that was the word from a lot of the analysts who were there and the coaches. He's known for his versatility and his ball hawking instincts and his football IQ. Does that sound like a Jonathan Gannon type player? Everybody now, dang yes. Yes, it does. So he just seems like a really good fit on a lot of different levels, not to mention, what, he was the fastest safety at the combine?
A 4.41 40.
Well, there you go. So I thought it was really good value in round 4, because that seems to be a position that has been devalued over the last couple of years. But all you have to do is watch the Cardinals' defense, and Buda Baker and Jalen Thompson are the heartbeat of that defense. So if you can add another guy like that and bring him in, and Jalen Thompson, we all know about Buda Baker. I mean, that was just even though he was a Pro Bowler his first year as a special teamer, because he was still behind Tyrann Mathieu. But Jalen Thompson, as soon as he got playing time, he made an impact. And it might not be in September necessarily, but I'm guessing by Halloween, Thanksgiving, Rabbit, I bet you, will be a key contributor to this defense.
And the ball hawking skills, 10 career interceptions, that's an area a must improve as far as that defensive backfield for the Cardinals defense, as far as taking the ball away from the opponent.
Absolutely, yeah. I think that was an underrated part that we didn't necessarily touch on a lot, just because when you look at the big picture of the defense, there were some areas that they struggled in. But you're right, Craig, that's absolutely an important part of a defense that was lacking here. And I like this pick, again, of bringing in somebody young, somebody to kind of have the mentors of a Thompson and a Baker and get a feel for this defense and hopefully fight his way out onto the field in some way.
All right, so let's look at the final two picks on Saturday. 6th round, you talk about double up at positions. The Cardinals with the 191st overall selection doubled up at wide receiver, taking Tajon Palmer out of UAB, another six-year college veteran. Redshirted in 2018, 2 years at Snow College in Utah. It's a JUCO, and then 3 years at UAB. Was not invited to the combine. However, these postseason All-Star games, Hula Bowl, East-West Shrine Bowl, and he played on the East team. Drew Terrell was the offensive coordinator, the Cardinals passing game coordinator, wide receivers coach. This was a theme throughout the draft as far as different assistant coaches at different All-Star games getting their hands on and getting real intel on these players to bring back to the scouting staff.
There are a lot of these draft players that have experience in one of these All-Star, you know, season games with someone on the Cardinals coaching staff, which says a lot of you're getting a feel for how coachable they are, their personality, how they carry themselves, how quickly they learn and pick up on things, learn from their mistakes. I like that. I mean, even if you were watching on ESPN the draft, it was Mel Kiper who said that he believed that if Palmer stayed at UAB for another year, he would have been drafted significantly higher. Assistant general manager at the joint press conference with Monty Ossenfort was saying Saturday that they like what they see in Palmer. And you can see the areas of improvement of really the route running was what he was kind of talking about. But the what you need as the foundation, they like already in Palmer. And when you're talking about the coaches at the East-West Shrine Bowl game, for example, another player that was brought up of being benefited that he was there with the Cardinals coaching staff was the tight end they took in round three, Tip Reiman out of Illinois, because Reiman was a heavy blocking tight end, didn't have a lot of opportunities to catch the ball. And it was the East-West game where the coaching staff, the Cardinals coaches that were out there, got a closer look of what he can do as a pass catcher, which really elevated his draft status and how high he ended up on the board for the Cardinals.
As Dave Sears said about Reiman, can move people. And that's what we heard from Reiman in his conference call, the ability to move people against their will, put them where he wants them, not where they want to go.
Yeah, after we heard from Monty Ossenfort and Jonathan Gannon on Friday night, I wanted to hear from Dave Sears. I needed more opinions on Tip Reiman. And so I asked him about it. You know, look, is he really just a blocking tight end? And Dave Sears, in not so many words, said, no, he has the ability, he has the athleticism to be a target in the pass game, that you saw it in the All-Star games, right? Voted All-East practice team at the Shrine game. Drew Terrell, once again, was the offensive coordinator there. What's mind-blowing is he had the top next-gen stat athleticism score among all tight ends. He was above Brock Bowers, and he's a dude at 6'5", 271. So, once again, this is what I mean by really intriguing. What are these guys going to be all about out on the field when he's described as a mauler, but he has all these physical yards after catch? You know, I mean, he's going to be sort of like a Gronk type. You know, he's out there and he can hold his own at the point of attack, but then you get him the ball and nobody's bringing him down at first contact. Certainly not a DB. Dude's turning him down at 6'5", 271 with athleticism. He's coming, charging, galloping in the open field. Funny how guys take funny angles to a tight end like that, and they don't quite get there with enough force. So I am really curious how he might potentially pair up with Trey McBride.
And nothing's been handed to Reiman. He was a preferred walk-on at Illinois and had to earn his spot, earn that scholarship, and now here in the National Football League. Last pick of the 2024 NFL Draft for the Arizona Cardinals. We save the best for last. Another cornerback, Jaden Davis out of Miami, but it's not so much the player, the position, Paul, but it's the selection. 226th overall, the spot where the Cardinals drafted Pat Tillman in 1998. Owner Michael Bidwell on the phone spoke with Davis about the importance of that pick. Davis, when he addressed the media on a conference call, understood the importance and now put it on himself to learn more about the selection and more about Pat Tillman, not just the player, but the person overall.
Yeah, he essentially told the media that it was conveyed to me the importance of pick number 226. He said, and now it's important to me going forward. And you look at a guy who spent 4 years at Oklahoma, and then after the coaching change, right, with Oklahoma losing its coach to USC, then all of a sudden, you know, Lincoln Riley is gone. So he goes, all right, you know what, I'm going to go home. And he went to Miami, grew up in Fort Lauderdale. But guess what? He runs a 4.47. He doesn't turn down tackles. He's physical enough as a corner. So he got the attention of Jonathan Gannon. We presume He has tons of experience, 50 games played, 20 starts at Oklahoma, started all of last season for Miami, so he's played against big-time competition. And I'm just going to throw this out there that, hey, you need a backup to Garrett Williams at slot corner. So I would say the back end of that room, the competition is on. They went after three corners in this draft. You obviously had three rookie corners from last year who are going to be on this roster. It's going to be that could arguably be the most competitive position group in training camp, because after Sean Murphy Bunting and Garrett Williams, right now, not to, well, maybe by design, it is a 52-card pickup.
With Jonathan Gannon's experience, not just coaching DBs, but also as a scout, if there's, again, a position where I'm going to absolutely trust the head coach of maybe seeing raw talent and what they can become and how high the ceiling is for them, it's going to be cornerback. And this might have been a pick of they liked Jaden Davis and didn't want to risk him becoming an undrafted free agent and having to fight other teams, and they wanted him for themselves. And so they took him with the last pick.
And look, when you're on day three, you try and swing for the fences, right? Buy low, sell high. You're trying to find, in the stock market terms, the next Amazon, right? You're going to buy, and you're hoping this thing really grows. So, of course, you're going to go for a guy who runs a 4.47, a corner with tons of experience. The pick before him in round six, Tajon Palmer. I mean, 6'1", 210. He's physical. I saw this breakdown by Brian Baldinger. He said his 4.4 speed, he might have better game speed than at his pro day. He had 23 miles per hour at one point on one route. Tajon Palmer, and so he earned a spot on Bruce Feldman's freak list to begin last season. And then you just go Christian Jones, four-year starter at Texas, at both right and left tackle. So obviously there's a pedigree there. And then once again, Xavier Thomas, former number three recruit in the nation, rated ahead of Micah Parsons going into the college game, freshman All-American. Things trailed off because of reasons beyond football. So, okay, he's got it dialed in. You know, once again, you make sure in these day three picks that there's tons of ability, put it on the coaches. So if you can unlock that ability, wow, you have players capable of day one or day two, you know, game type pedigree. And man, it's been a long draft. I'm losing my mind at this point. But look, you know, just that return on investment could be huge based on guys who are big time contributors at big time programs.
By the way, Danny, a prediction for Paulie's Pigskin breakout player of the offseason or training camp. I'm going to go with Jaden Davis because of this conference call quote that he told the media. Despite my size, I'm more than athletic enough. I'm more than strong enough. I'm more than able enough to do whatever is asked of me.
See, was that necessary for the second day? Paul is staying later at work to be on the podcast, and you keep throwing bullets his way.
It's true. You know, I am scanning this, though. You know, and I'm taking that as a challenge. I'm seeing, let's see here, the early, because already I'm sure the sports books have put out the odds on the number one pick in next year's NFL draft. It's never too early. So I would say, honestly, breakout player at camp. Now, normally I look try and go with a guy who's drafted on day two or three at the very least, if not an undrafted guy. But it might be easy pickings to go with Xavier Thomas, but I'm going to lean right now towards Trey Benson.
Oh, that's not what I was thinking. No. I thought you were going to say Tajon Palmer, the wide receiver out of UAB.
I'm just thinking you're not going to give James Conner a lot of action for obvious reasons in the preseason. Trey Benson could come in at 6 foot, 220-something, 4'3", 940, and make some dudes look stupid. And so I'm wondering, and I firmly believe RB2 is wide open in this offense. So I'm leaning. That's my early clubhouse selection here, and I do mean early. It's not even May. Come on.
April 27th, mark it down. How many times now, Danny, will that name change between now and we continue to talk?
Name's not going to change. He's just going to keep adding names.
That's true. Okay. That's true.
Right.
Very true.
Well, there you go. One minute she's defending me. Next minute she's just piling
on. I'm objective, Paul.
Piling on.
I'm objective.
Right. By the way, any last words before we kind of put a button on all of this and give everyone a break? By the way, let me just say this. I very much appreciate the time that we have all spent together over these 3 days, from Cardinals Draft Central on Friday and then Friday nights, and now here all day long, literally all day long on Saturday.
Well, except Paul, he hit some traffic, so he was here later this morning.
It was beyond traffic because
here we go.
The freeway was closed. I mean, Arizona Department of Transportation, ADOT. I mean, what is up with closing freeways for what? So you can sweep them off? I mean, it better be monumental to close a freeway. And when you look it up online, oh, it's some pavement work. Really? Really? Were you restriping the gutters on the 101 and so you close the entire freeway? I've never lived in a state where there's so little needed to close a freeway.
And this is where I give a disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed by one Paul Calvisi do not necessarily reflect the opinions of everyone else.
I'll even name names because the director over there is Doug Nintzel, and we used to work together over at KTR. So, Doug, what's going on?
He'll appreciate the
name drop. Come on. So, and you know what's even worse, thanks for asking, is when they close the whole freeway and you look over there and there's a crew of like four guys
standing around doing nothing,
all leaning on a shovel. I mean, if you're going to close a freeway, you better unleash
it. Are they not allowed to take a break?
There better be an army of workers, Danny, if you're going to close a freeway instead of four guys with one broom.
Well, before we get Paul into any more trouble with perhaps the Arizona government and the Department of Transportation, we'll make that the last word. Paul, you got another rant?
It was good for you that I had no advanced knowledge of said closed freeway, or there's a good chance I wouldn't be here right now.
Do you not pay attention to like the emails and the social media blasts that they give out during the week?
I'm following. I need to start following the A.Dot Twitter account, but I was preoccupied just a little bit with the NFL draft.
Well, Paul, you can stay home and relax on Sunday.
Somewhere Larry Fitzgerald is saying champagne problems there, Calvisi. Shut it. And I will.
Danny, you can take tomorrow off. Yeah.
Oh, that's really kind. Thanks.
I appreciate that.
And Craig might buy you a drink tonight.
All of them.
Yeah.
I'll buy all of them.
It's amazing how that works when they're complimentary. Big spender.
Should be a lot of fun. Yeah. All right. Okay. On that note, we will let everyone go off and enjoy what is left of this weekend. We will put a lid on this edition of Cardinals Cover 2 presented by Hyundai, proud partner of the Arizona Cardinals and the entire 2024 NFL Draft. Special thanks behind the scenes, our executive producer, Jim Amahundro, our associate producer, Cody Fincher, for Danny Sarek, Paul Calvisi. I'm Craig Riolu. We'll talk to you next time here on Cardinals Cover 2.